Yusuf grew up in the house of Al-Aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا.
And when he, Yusuf, attained his full manhood, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. Thus we reward the doers of the good. Hukma and ilma. Hukm is judgment and ilm is knowledge. Why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say hukm only? Or why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say ilm only? These are two different things, good judgment and knowledge. And Allah gave Yusuf both. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we have given him knowledge only, knowledge could mean that you memorize a lot of Quran, you know a lot of ahadith, but if you don't have a good processing of that information, if you don't have good judgment, you can't really do much with it. And we find that there are people who have a lot of knowledge with them, but they're limited in their ability to take advantage of it, and they're limited in their ability to make use of it. Good judgment, hukmah, is the ability to judge events, the correct estimation and assessment of things. You look at something and you have wisdom in the way you assess that event and the way you analyze it and the way you deal with it and act upon it. And that is a skill, and knowledge is something else. When you put these together, you get the perfect personality. Good judgment and knowledge together. And that is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the Anbiya. It is the fahm and the understanding in the deen. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, رُبَّ حَامِ الْفِقْهِنِ إِلَىٰ مَنْ هُوَ أَفْقَهْ مِنْهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talks about, maybe you are carrying fiqh, you are delivering fiqh to somebody who understands it more than you. An example of that, Imam Abu Hanifa was sitting in his halaqah, in his circle, and the way of Imam Abu Hanifa in teaching was unique among the four scholars. With Abu Hanifa, radiallahu anhu, he used to have a council. So he would present an issue for debate, and they would discuss it, and then they would give opinions, and then he would make a final verdict. With the other three imams, they are the ones who would give the verdict, and everybody in front of them is a student. When you're sitting in the halaqah of Imam Malik, you are a student. You don't argue with Imam Malik. You take from him. With Imam Abu Hanifa, it was different. He had, for example, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan and Abu Yusuf. We don't call them students of Abu Hanifa, we call them as-sahiban, the two friends or companions. Even though they were students of Abu Hanifa, but we don't call them students because they used to be a council with him, which he would discuss affairs with. Anyway, there was one scholar of hadith who used to sit in this council of Imam Abu Hanifa. He recited a hadith. He recited the hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa did not know that hadith. He did not have that knowledge. A woman came and asked the scholar of hadith who was sitting in the meeting of Abu Hanifa a question. She asked him a question. That scholar of hadith said, Allahu alam, I don't know the answer. Imam Abu Hanifa said, I know the answer. So the scholar of hadith said, oh Imam, how did you know the answer? He said, I knew the answer from the hadith you just recited. So this is an example of somebody who is carrying the knowledge, but did not know how to implement it. While Imam Abu Hanifa did not have it, but when he had it, he knew how to use it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Yusuf alayhi salam both hukum and ilm, good judgment on events and knowledge. And this is something very important for anybody in a position of leadership. It's not enough to have knowledge, and it's not good only to have good judgment. You need to have both to be an effective and successful leader. There is an Islamic state that happened in North Africa a few centuries ago. This Islamic state was established by ulama, and they implemented the Sharia, and it was one of the honors of the Islamic history. When the scholars analyzed the reasons of the downfall of that Islamic state, they say one of the reasons is because these scholars lost touch with the reality of the world around them. They had a lot of knowledge, but they lost touch with the reality of the world. They were too much busy studying the details of fiqh and tafri'at al-fiqhiyya, and they lost touch with the world around them, and that was one of the reasons why that state fell and was overtaken. Even though they were establishing Sharia and they were scholars, there's no doubt in their righteousness. Yusuf alayhi salam grew up in the house of Al-Aziz. One of the Islamic scholars gives an estimate of the age of Yusuf when he was adopted. He says he was about maybe 14 years old. Because Ghulam, when they have taken him from the well and they said Ghulam, that is usually the age of a Ghulam. Older than that is called Fata. And he says that Balagha Ashuddahu would mean 25 years old, even though there's a difference in opinion on what is Balagha Ashuddah. We can give an estimate that the wife of Al-Aziz at that time was about 40 years old. Because if they have adopted Yusuf when he was 14, and let's say that she was maybe 30 years old, because her husband was already the Aziz, and usually to have a position of that status, you might be 40 years old. So by the time Yusuf grows up to be 25, she might have been at that time 40 years old. The wife of Al-Aziz presented herself to Sayyidina Yusuf. And she, in whose house he was, sought to seduce him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ And she closed the doors. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ And she said, come on, you. She tried to sleep with him by force. She brought him into that room, closed the doors, presented herself to him, and wanted to force him to commit the act of zina.
قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ
He said, I seek refuge in Allah.
إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ
Truly, your husband is my master and he made my stay agreeable.
إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ
I will never betray him because the wrongdoers will never be successful. Subhanallah. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ I seek refuge in Allah. Your husband, so first of all, look at this. First of all, he's not stopping her in his confidence in his own self. He's asking Allah to help him. Ma'ad Allah, I seek refuge in Allah. Oh Allah, help me. And then he said, Innahu Rabbi Ahsana Mathwai. Your husband is my master and he has been very well with me. He has treated me very well. Look at the gratitude that Sayyidina Yusuf had. Even though he was a slave and this was a slave master, he did not have any hatred against him. In fact, he viewed him as somebody who needs to be respected because he dealt with him in a very good and respectable way. And then he said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ The ones who betray and the ones who do wrong, they can never be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا
And indeed, she did desire him, and he would have inclined to her desire had he not seen the evidence of his Lord. She desired him. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ And he had also this hem. وَهَمَّ بِهَا Her desire, she was acting upon it. Her desire was in her heart, but she was acting upon it. This idea passed through his heart, but he did not act upon it. And we know from the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ says, if you make the intention to do evil, and then you do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it down against you as one evil deed. And if you think about doing evil, but then you do not do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write it as a good deed. So the thought itself passed through the heart of Yusuf alayhi salam. But he did not act upon it, and he shut that door, and he sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he drove it out of his heart, and he refused. In itself, what I'm presenting to you now, A fact that a beautiful woman presents herself to a man. That in itself is difficult. Now let's look at the other elements and variables in this situation that would even complicate it further. Number one, this woman was extremely beautiful and she was wealthy and she was his master. So she has the power to force him, and if he does not obey her, she can punish him. Number two, we cannot believe that she resorted to such extreme measures suddenly in that moment. No, a woman will not resort to using force except if she has exhausted all other means. She must have tried everything possible before she started using force. And imagine this, because Sayyidina Yusuf was living with her. So Sayyidina Yusuf, it wasn't a spur of the moment. Sayyidina Yusuf was going through this pain and fitna for a long time. He has been presented to this seduction for a very, very long period. Because she will not act this way, shut the doors and try to force him, except if she has tried all other means before and they didn't work. So she must have been doing this for months or maybe even years. This is the complication of the situation, because it's difficult to stop it, even if it's a spur of the moment thing. But it makes it even much, much more difficult to stop if you have been going through this for years. And you are living with her in the same house, seeing her day and night. And they are the one who are feeding you and taking care of you, and there's interaction. And he had samud, he had persistence, and he was able to stop this fitna and say, I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Sayyidina Yusuf is the leader of the ones who come under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. رَجُلٌ دَعَتْهُمْ رَأَهُ ذَاتَ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. A man who was called by a woman, ذَاتَ حَسَبٍ وَجَمَالٍ, beauty and position. And he says, I fear Allah. This woman had hasab, she had position. She had wealth, she had mal, she had beauty, she had everything. And Sayyidina Yusuf was able to stand against this sea of seduction and stop it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ.
We might turn away from him evil and illegal sexual intercourse. Surely he was one of our chosen guided slaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he had ikhlas and he was chosen. She wouldn't accept that answer from him. So she tried to force him. He ran out of the room and opened the door and tried to leave. And she grabbed him by his shirt in the back and tried to pull him back, and his shirt was torn apart. That moment, her husband walked in the room.
وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابَ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ مِنْ دُبُرٍ وَأَلْفَ يَا سَيِّدَهَا لَدَى الْبَابِ.
So they raced with one another to the door, and she tore his shirt from the back. They both found their Lord. Lord here means husband. قالت ما جزاء من أراد بأهلك سوء. Look at how she changed the story. She said, what is the recompense for him who intended an evil design against your wife? What will the punishment be of a man who intended evil against your wife? Immediately she was able to pronounce that word. A reaction that was sudden. And this happened in front of Yusuf alayhi salam. Clear lie in front of him. And then she illa an yusjana aw adhabun alim. And then she gave suggestions for the punishment. Not only said what punishment should he give him, but she gave suggestions. What did she say? Except that he be put in prison or a painful torment. She didn't say kill him. She did not say kill him. Because she doesn't want him to be killed. She said put him in jail or punish him. But she did not suggest killing him. Yusuf said, it is she that sought to seduce me. Now how could you solve this problem? Yusuf is saying something and the wife is saying something else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that moment sent one of their relatives. So he came and he said, I will tell you, how can we tell the truth? If the shirt of Yusuf is torn from the front, then she is telling the truth. If the shirt of Yusuf is torn from the back, then she is lying. Because if the shirt is torn from the front, it means that Yusuf was attacking her and she was fighting him, so his shirt was torn. If the shirt is torn from the back, it means that she was running after him trying to grab him. So it's a very wise suggestion. His shirt was torn from the back, so she was lying. So when he saw his shirt torn at the back, he said, surely it is a plot of you, woman. Certainly mighty is your plot. And then the husband told Yusuf,
Yusuf, أعرض عن هذا.
Oh Yusuf, turn away from this. Meaning ignore it. Don't speak about it as if nothing happened. Let's not cause this problem to be known to anyone. And they don't want any of this to leak. They don't want a scandal. It will be a political scandal for them. So he told Yusuf, don't speak about it, as if it never happened. It's a cover-up. And then he told his wife, ask forgiveness for your sin. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. Verily, you were of the sinful. We can find the sense of spoilness in this response of Al-Aziz. And this is common among the high class when they become corrupt. He told Yusuf, forget about this. And then he told his wife, can you please ask Allah to forgive you? And that was the end of the story. There's no real jealousy in that man. He said, وَاسْتَغْفِرِي لِذَنْبِكَ. Ask Allah to forgive you. إِنَّكِ كُنْتِ مِنَ الْخَاطِئِينَ. You were of those who were sinful. But the high-class society, they have a lot of spare time. And the women get together and they gossip. Some women from this particular level, the luxurious, extravagant, rich, and famous of the high class, they knew somehow of the event that happened, and they knew that the wife of Aziz has love to her slave. So they started speaking about that. And woman in the city said, the wife of Al-Aziz is seeking to seduce her slave young man. قَدْ شَغَفَا حُبَّا. Indeed, she loves him violently. إِنَّا لَنَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. We see her in plain error. I mean, how could she desire a slave? And gossip was going around and the news is spreading from one meeting and club to another. So the wife of Al-Aziz wanted to teach them a lesson. She invited these women, and then she gave them some fruits. She gave them knives. And then she told them to start eating, so they would cut the fruits with the knives. And she had already prepared her slave, Yusuf. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Yusuf had one half of the beauty. Yusuf, there was no one more handsome than him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I saw him in As-Sama' when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the trip of Al-Mi'raj. Rasulullah said, وَرَأَيْتُ يُوسُفْ وَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوتِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ. I saw Yusuf and he had half of the beauty. Ibn Mas'ud later would say that whenever Yusuf would deal with any woman, he would cover his face. The interpreters of this hadith, they say it could either mean that Yusuf had half of the beauty of the world, or it could mean that Yusuf had half of the beauty of who? Adam. Adam alayhi salam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam with his own hands, and the scholar said that was the best form of human beings. So Yusuf had half of the beauty of Adam. So they started eating, and she made Yusuf walk in front of them.